Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks, and welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Greg Glenn with you here for episode one, our first episode, which will give you insight on me and also into the future for the podcast. Now, as most podcasts do, this will be our first episode where you learn about the podcast. I'm going to give you some of my personal background and my personal brand so that you can learn about me and why I started this podcast. So I'm Greg Glenn. I'm the Athlete Brand Advisor and also the founder and CEO of Pliable. My career has been mostly spent working in the sports industry, sparked initially, of course, as many of us have happened to us. As a young kid, I loved growing up playing sports. I grew up in Massachusetts where I played a lot of sports, from baseball to golf. Now, in my junior year of high school, there was a defining moment for me. I was actually diagnosed with spondylolisthesis and spondylolysis, and really, in non-doctor speak, that means a slipped disc. It meant, well, I wasn't going to be able to play hockey again, which was really hard for me at the time. And so I decided, how was I going to use this as an opportunity? And when I did that, I thought about, okay, well, how can I stay involved with the hockey team? What can I do? Because I love hockey so much. So I actually ended up starting broadcasting my high school hockey games on the local cable access television station. And this actually turned out to be a defining moment in my career. It was this opportunity that launched the beginning of my broadcasting career. And I had found my passion. I was able to be on the air and broadcast sports. So then I realized, even in high school, what I wanted to do. And I really felt blessed with that opportunity because it let me really select a great college that was going to forward my career in broadcasting. So I attended Quinnipiac University in Hamden, Connecticut, where I started to pursue my broadcasting career. And by that, I mean I tried to get on the radio station as much as possible. I had a radio show. I had sports broadcasting I was doing on WQUN, and I could really try to just soak up the college experience, but also have in mind what I wanted to do after college. And I really enjoyed every minute of the time that I spent on the air, and also reporting. I started to focus in more on being a member of the media, being a journalist. What does that mean? And so I would write for the newspaper. I would be part of the television station. I was on the air at WQAQ, which was the student-run radio station. As I said, I had a great radio show. It was called The New York City Boys and the Bostonian. It was with my roommate Emilio Cerullo and his friend Mike LaBella. And you can imagine what happens when you get someone from Massachusetts, the Bostonian, which was me, and two New York City boys, as they called themselves, and the discussions we would have, the arguments we would have over the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Mets, and just that rivalry. Because we were in Connecticut, you had to remember, this is kind of like the clash of the two regions. You kind of have a lot of students from the Massachusetts area. You have a lot of students from that New York, New Jersey area. So it was really fun to be able to just talk about sports constantly, especially with my roommate Emilio, who was my roommate, by the way, for all 4 years. And we really hit it off, and so glad that we're still friends today. But I also think it was an opportunity for me to, again, be involved in sports. I love sports. So it wasn't just the hockey games that I was interested in broadcasting. I enjoyed doing everything from volleyball to basketball. And my big break came when I was covering the men's ice hockey team for U.S. College Hockey Magazine at the time. And I was the MAC beat writer. And I was able to join WQUN broadcaster and broadcasting guru Bill Schweitzer, who's a former CBS broadcaster. He became my mentor, inviting me kind of up to the broadcast booth with him during my freshman year. Interestingly enough, one of the assistant coaches, Duncan Fletcher, was doing some games. He was providing some color, but he was obviously tied up in his coaching responsibility as well. So when he found out that I wanted to be a broadcaster, he was like, "You can gladly take my place." And I was like, "Okay, that sounds great." And so I can remember, you know, just the times I would have with the team, being on team buses, team meals, and really getting that athlete experience without playing myself. And again, going back to the back injury, I wasn't going to be able to play. And what I started to realize is this actually was starting to become part of my personal brand. And the team had given me the nickname Triple G, because I had three G's in my name, and they realized that kind of stuck. And it even went down as simple as they just started calling me Triple. And what's kind of interesting about nicknames is you think about when an athlete takes on a nickname, or even a person takes on a nickname, you're now starting to really grow a personal brand. You developed your brand, whether you realize it or not, throughout your life. But at some point, you're going to get stuck with a nickname, and you really want to make sure you like it. And I really embraced Triple G. I thought it was a great nickname. But it would change as I continued on in my career, and here's what I mean by that. So after my time at Quinnipiac, and I'm so grateful to Bill Schweitzer, again, who I keep in touch with, of course, thanks to Facebook, but he really gave me a ton of advice and gave me the opportunity to have experience in the broadcast booth. So after graduating with a degree in mass communications and a minor in marketing, I was hired by the Portland Pirates in the American Hockey League as their team broadcaster. I spent 5 seasons with the team, living my dream as a broadcaster. And I can tell you that if you ever get a chance to work in minor league sports, take the opportunity, because you will get a chance to build several skills. You wear a lot of different hats, but that experience is really valuable as you grow your career, and here's why. So I had a chance to not only broadcast the games where I was working, obviously up in the broadcast booth, but I was handling our community relations, I was handling our team services, I was handling our media relations, I was handling our website. And I started to realize that there were a lot of things that I was doing that I also enjoyed in addition to the broadcasting. And one of those was working closely with the players and the media. And I would help them get media interviews. We would go to morning radio stations and do morning interviews. And trust me, when you've got a hockey player waking up at 7 a.m. to do a radio show, they better bring the energy. So for all of you athletes out there listening, when you do interviews, you've got to bring the energy, no matter what time the interview is. But the point is, I really enjoyed all of my time. I built some great relationships with a lot of the players on the team, and I still keep in touch with many of them today. And I even also, I'll tell you my favorite moment, which is interesting, is kind of, again, a defining moment for me, was back in 2006. We had a great run in the Calder Cup playoffs, ended up playing the Hershey Bears in Game 7, and it ended up being the most memorable call of my career. Now, it wasn't a positive for the Pirates, who I was the team broadcaster for, but I remember it being the pinnacle moment where the most amount of people were listening. The Pirates fans were awesome. They would tune in. Of course, we're out in Hershey for Game 7, so not many of them could come to the game. And you knew there were so many people hanging on every word that you were saying. And unfortunately for the team, that Game 7 went into overtime, and Eric Fair scored from the right circle, and I can still see it in my brain very clearly today. But when I had that call about him scoring, I felt as though I was really able to convey in my play-by-play the emotional loss and what I was feeling, because I knew there were tons of other Pirates fans feeling the exact same way. And so, interestingly enough, after that season, I ended up having a back injury in 2008. So again, going back to kind of the personal brand, when you have an injury or a chronic condition, it can become part of your brand, and you've got to embrace it, and you've got to figure out how you're going to use that to propel you into something else. So after my back surgery, spinal fusion in 2008, I realized that getting on buses, you know, almost up to 40 hours a week wasn't going to be ideal for me. So I had to again refocus. And what I did is in 2009, joined NMC, which is a public relations and marketing agency in Augusta at the time. And I was able to hone my skills in public relations by working with a wide range of clients across a lot of different industries. And I also learned a lot of skills, much more this time on the public relations side of things. I had a lot of great memories and relationships. I even can remember some of my fondest memories were actually when I was working with athletes. So we had a chance to work with the Maine Beer and Wine Distributors Association, and they partnered with Olympian Julia Klucki from Augusta, and we were able to work together over 6 years. I helped her with her athlete brand and also promote and create much more awareness for the Maine Beer and Wine Distributors Association and their responsibility campaign. And I remember working with her on media training, community appearances. We went to more than 60 high schools across the state where she would talk about responsible decision making. So we were in many different high schools in many different situations. She's signing posters, we're meeting kids. And that was kind of when social media was growing and it wasn't to where it is today. But as I look back at that experience, I think about how it helped me realize that I really enjoy working with athletes. And I even had a chance to work with high school athletes as part of the Gaziano Awards, which recognize the top high school linemen in the state of Maine for their performance, not only on the field, but in the classroom and in the community. So that was a really exciting project. I worked on that for more than 10 years, met a lot of great high school athletes, which by the way, of course, now high school athletes are thinking about their athlete brand even before they get to college because of everything going on with name, image, and likeness. They need to almost prepare themselves to take their game, not only on the field, but off the field, to the next level and make themselves marketable to coaches and to, of course, colleges. So when I then finished my time at Marshall Communications, I started my own marketing, public relations, and broadcasting company called Pliable. And the name Pliable was inspired by NFL superstar Tom Brady and the TB12 method, which includes his, of course, commitment to wellness and the concept of muscle pliability. And I've been using the TB12 method since 2019. I actually started right at the start of COVID. And it was about 2 years later that I really started to see the results of what I had been doing with my eating, with my muscles and working out and resistance training. And I really believe strongly in pliability, especially with everything I've had with my back. It has changed my body and it has also changed the way I think about life. And so it's kind of these same values, which I call attitude, gratitude, and effort, are three things that you can control. So when I had a back surgery or when we face adversity, coaches talk about it. We're going to try and control what we can control. Well, I can tell you that if you think about it hard enough, there are three things in life you can control: your attitude, your gratitude, and your effort. And that's something that athletes are very familiar with, and I encourage you to think about that and how you can integrate that into your personal brand. So as you think about this podcast and what it is going to do, I want to bring in athletes and people in the sports industry that understand or can provide advice to athletes, and also bring in athletes who have had experiences with athlete branding and also growing their brand at several different levels, from high school to college to pro, And we're going to talk about the role that personal branding and athlete branding can play in your life and how early it starts, how people's careers are different, how they're similar, and also, most importantly, how you can market your athlete brand. So at the end of the day, this podcast is for you, the listeners, the athletes that want to benefit from the advice. That's right, you. This is who the podcast is for. So if you ever have any guest ideas or topics for the podcast, please send our production staff an email at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. I'm Greg Glenn. I'm glad you could tune in and stay pliable.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.